Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. It's America. We're back with In the Open, and I have Teresa here with me.
Hi, everybody.
So today we are going to be talking about dealing with grief, which is something I think that a lot of people may be struggling with, but may not necessarily have the space to have conversations about it. So
everybody deals with grief, like little and small grief.
Yeah. I would say, though, that most people think about grief and like somebody passing away, you know, but that's not always the case. You can grieve everything and anything. And I think that's key for people feeling comfortable with whatever kind of emotion they're having.
Yeah. I remember the first feelings of grief I had were when I was little, and I'm like the last of six children. So I spent a lot of time alone because my mom was an older mom and she had already had five children. So by the time she got to me, I was totally a mistake. She told me she thought I was stomach cancer and that she was really sad because she had wished that I was stomach cancer instead of being pregnant at 41. This is the story of my life. So that's not grieving to me, but I just was really alone as a little kid, like 5 years old. And I just remember like when my siblings would come and leave, I would be so sad because I would be alone.
Okay.
And the something happened one time where my brother was going to come and like take my nephew out to go see a movie. And it was Jurassic Park. This is like a traumatic flashbulb memory because I remember this feeling of grief being so profound. And I just started to cry when he came to pick up my nephew. And he was like, oh, I'm not going to take you.
Aww.
And like all of a sudden the wave of all the emotions. Okay. It's like triggering feelings and emotions now. Like I'm going to cry. Because like in that one moment as this little kid of 8, all of the feelings from when I could start thinking and being aware that I was so alone got sucked up into that one event. Does that make sense? It was so stupid. It was just like, oh, my brother wasn't going to take me to Jurassic Park.
Oh, poor thing.
That was one. The second time was I spent all this time saving up my allowance to buy a tape cassette. I had spent like 6 months of allowance time to save up to buy this new tape cassette. And I am not joking you. I brought it home, unpackaged it like super carefully, put it in the damn machine, and the machine ate it up.
Your tape?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
I just remember crying. And I remember also feeling like so stupid because people were like, why are you crying? Like, that's just a tape or whatever.
Yeah.
But in my mind, like, it was so much more than that.
Yeah, it meant like the world to you. Do you remember what tape it was?
Why are you going to ask? That's so embarrassing.
Because I want to know.
To Men or something. I feel like big things, like big feelings for me, I put in a box. And I put it there because I can't handle processing through those feelings.
So sometimes like, I do that.
Today,
yeah.
I can unpack Jurassic Park and my sad tape, but it's in the box with all the other big grief things.
Yeah. Those experiences, though, highlight how varied grief can be because it's about the loss of something, right? Whether it's the loss of a person or the loss of something that you like so wanted. You were looking forward to this and you just, for whatever reason, you couldn't have it. You couldn't get it.
Yeah. What are your earliest memories of grief?
Like grief, I think about when I've lost people. I've lost quite a number of people in my life. Mm-hmm. And so my emotional attachment is kind of to that space, mm-hmm. and going through that process. But then I think about the experiences of loss, not about a person. Like if people have been listening to the podcast, they know that I've been married before and that I've been divorced, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I went through my divorce, there was a whole experience of loss with everything that I had not only attached to like the marriage itself, but to the idea of marriage and to the person that I was with that. So I had to go, like, I went to therapy and I talked through all these things that I didn't even realize were part of my existence until this happened.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't have an early memory, but the feeling of, like, isolation, like, nobody understands that this is how it feels. And, like, you being able to actually go through this process, because it is a process. It's not like, oh, you, it's okay. It's like if somebody's trying to minimize you. It's just a tape. No, sucker. It's not just a tape. It's my life, you know? And that's where, for me, it goes back to those experiences of me going through, like, the divorce. At some point, you know, I had wanted, when I was thinking about going to college or whatever, I had envisioned this life that I'd be, like, going to this big city and changing my life and being this totally cool person. Then, you know, reality hit and it's like, no. I had other priorities that I thought were more important, which pushed me in a different direction. So I kind of had to grieve that, what I had wanted. So it sounds like more of my experiences are to things that I had wanted or what I thought were part of my identity.
Isn't that what grief is? Let's just identify. Grief is losing and letting go of something you want.
Yeah.
Whether it's a physical thing, it's an experience, an image, a person, a pet, an idea.
Yeah.
Because grief, if you could get it, you wouldn't feel grief. It's like, no, if I sit with grief, it means I don't have the thing I want. I'm not going to ever get the thing I want. I have to just accept that part of reality, that I'm never going to get what I want. Death is always the thing that we think about with grief, because when somebody dies, you lose that person.
There is another experience, though, I think, that is attached when somebody dies and you lose somebody. But it's not always death. Okay. I really want to make sure that we think about that, because let's say you and I are best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a point where you and I are no longer serving a purpose for one another. Mm-hmm. Instead, you're like damaging me. And I have to make the decision to cut you loose.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have to grieve that friendship, mm-hmm. you know? I have to grieve that relationship. And it's not like you're dead. It's just you're dead to me.
No. Yeah, you're dead to me. You're dead to me. It's true. And I think that in some ways, I don't know if people talk about this a lot. It's like if something suddenly severs, that's like a hard experience. But what you're talking about is like I am having grief before the grief moment happens. I have to make this decision to cut off or sever a relationship. And it means that I'm not going to have the bad stuff, but I'm not going to get the good stuff. And I think that's why it's hard for people to break up.
Right.
Or move away from negative relationships, is because the grief of it, the fear of not being with that person or that thing, is really scary.
Yeah, but you know how they talk about like the stages of grief?
Yeah.
I really think that any experience where you feel a loss of something,
mm-hmm.
you definitely go through the stages, even without you really like being like, oh, ding, 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 I am now going through anger.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is being able to live in the negative feelings that you may have associated with that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's you feeling the loss of saying, you know, wow, I'm never going to be able to have this experience with that person, or I'm not going to be able to live in this way for myself the way that I had envisioned. And coming to terms. And that may be where people may feel guilt for feeling the way that they feel.
Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about the 7 stages of grief.
Okay.
Because I don't know that everybody knows that, but if you Googled it, like you have like shock, guilt, anger, bargaining, depression, and then like, what is it?
Working through it. Yeah.
Kubler-Ross. I think she was the first one. Everybody has like a new way of doing this now. Bargaining and acceptance, like working through it and then acceptance.
Yes.
I do think that certain experiences make the state like certain stages more extreme. when I've lost somebody to a sudden death, I am staying in shock and guilt for a long time. Mm-hmm. When some people have died in my life from something like cancer, you have shock and you have that denial period, but then you move fairly quickly. At least I've seen, it's like, then they're still with you. So you still have time. So you're not like, some of that guilt and shock isn't related to like, I wish I had said something to that person, or I can't believe I'll never see them again. It's like, you had that time with your person with cancer to say all the things you mm-hmm. wish you had said. So it reduces that regret.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the experiences that I've had where I've lost people that were very, very close to me. Some were very suddenly, others were kind of more progressive. And you kind of come to terms with the idea that eventually they may not be around and all that. But when it actually happens, mm-hmm. there's a whole period of, I want to say complacency, but it's not the right word, where you're just kind of coming to terms with it mm-hmm. and just being like, what happened? Why has it happened? Could I have done something? Especially if there was anything that you could have done. In many cases, there's not anything you could have done. Mm-hmm. But then you get to this other place of trying to figure out, how do I get past this so that I'm not kind of relishing in this negative space? Mm-hmm. And I think too often people think, because it has become like such a kind of commonplace kind of thinking, like, oh, I'm going through the stages of grief. It's like, yeah, dude, they don't just, it's not a linear thing, you know? They ebb and flow between anger yesterday and like complete denial tomorrow, and then acceptance on Wednesday, you know? Because things just may come up in your day-to-day existence that push these other thoughts into your face.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my God. I hadn't thought about this person in 5 years, but X thing happened. And now it's like totally what I'm thinking about today. And I get angry about it, that I couldn't have done anything, you know?
When it comes to grief, what is healthy and unhealthy grieving? What's unhealthy grieving look like?
Unhealthy grieving is something where you're not processing your feelings. Mm-hmm. You're not processing any of the experience that you're having with whatever loss. You're just stuck.
So you're not processing. If I shove it away forever, I'm totally...
then it's going to come back up in some way.
I'm totally playing devil's advocate, because I actually don't know. I'm not sure that I've ever lost something so important to me that it destroyed my life. And I know people in my life who have had those experiences, and it's devastating. And I can't process through what that experience must be like, because I can't tell if my mind, I was able to cope with grief, and so I'm minimizing its like impact, or if I am able to process and just move on. Does that make sense? Like, it's really hard to tell if you're a healthy griever or not healthy griever.
If it's unhealthy, right, where you're not being able to process and you put it in a box and you're just like, whatever, I'm going to live my life. Inevitably, what will happen in my experience and in me dealing and working with people is that stuff that you've put in a box comes up and shows its face in like the moment where you're like the worst of yourself, where you don't even realize that those feelings are the ones that are leading you to just be an ass and not be a good person, make stupid decisions because you haven't processed it.
Yeah.
So the monster's like peeking his head out every once in a while and is like, yeah, I'm still here. When you're ready, you should open this box up, because otherwise I'm just going to keep creeping up.
I really wrestle with this concept of loud grief versus silent grief.
Yeah.
Like, some people are loud grievers. You wail, you cry, you get angry, you talk about it all the time, nonstop. And there are other people who are silent grievers. They think that when you grieve, you should be doing that work inside your head and not cry and not let it out. And I think there's some aspects of culture related to this where things can clash, right? Like, in Asian cultures, we have this concept of having an entire year of loud grieving. Mm-hmm. And once that's done, you're supposed to celebrate a life and then kind of put a cap on it. Like, so Asians don't have necessarily, and I'm obviously generalizing, I don't even know if it's Asians, maybe it's just my family. There's a period where people are not loud people. Like, we're as Asian, and I don't know if there's like a Latino equivalent for this, but Asians are supposed to be pretty, we value quietness, quiet suffering. We don't like loud suffering at all. there's such a cultural expectation of like, if you complain, you're a burden and you need to not be a burden. Therefore, you should not complain. And that totally follows over into grief. But the one period where we're allowed to cry and wail is during funerals. Mm-hmm. And then for that one period, that 1 year or some X period where we're allowed to grieve. And dude, that is when I saw my mom cry. Like, I had never seen my mom act like this person before in my whole life, right? And I had to learn like, we're like doing this thing as a culture, mm-hmm. where I am letting it come out in this way because we have to do that to put that feeling somewhere and like to mourn and wail and cry and express so loudly and so extremely, because otherwise in the rest of our lives, we just pack it up.
Yeah.
And I think that that culture clash and or those expectation clashes inside of you or your person that you're with, that you're mourning with, like those, I think not the stages of grief. It's the mismatch in expectation of where someone should be that really causes problems of unhealthy, perceived unhealthy or healthy grieving.
I think culture has a huge impact on how we're able to express our emotions. And that includes grief. And, you know, you're talking about the period of mourning for the loss of a person, right? But if you were to experience a loss of a partner or a life event, would it be acceptable for you to grieve that? Would you be allowed to share your sadness and feelings attached to that in your culture?
It depends. There are lots of layers. Like, divorce is very hard.
Right.
If you had a loss where people think that it's your fault, mm-hmm. I don't think people want to see the grief around that. People want to be like, well, you made your bed, you know?
Yeah.
Suck it up. Like, you got to deal with that by yourself. I'm not going to help you take care of like something that you're sad that you lost, that I feel like it's your fault that you lost. You know, that's...
Man, that's hardcore in your face.
I know, right? Yourself.
Yeah.
But I feel that that's how people are. You got divorced. Is that not how that was?
No, my divorce process was interesting. I mean, I went through a grieving period. I think my mom did too, because she had this idea of like what it would be for me to get married and all this stuff. And it's really around these ideas of identities that you have and expectations that may exist. So that when it doesn't happen, you just kind of have to come to terms and be like, oh, okay, so yeah, that happened. You're going to have to reframe it, you know. Because that little house you invented in your mind, you know, you have to like reestablish a different thought pattern. So I was able to share very openly, like how I felt about things. Not everybody was as accepting because they were just like, okay, you're divorced, get over it. Like life continues. And it's like, no, there's a process that's attached to all of this. And I feel sad about it. And I feel mad about it. And... you know, it's just, it's a different space that you have to be in. But culturally, like within the Latino community, we have very, in many, many cases, because most Hispanics either are like, you know, moving into a realm of like Catholicism and stuff like that. There are different mourning periods and things that are attached to how long you can mourn and how you can mourn, what you're supposed to wear and all those time frame kind of things. But I don't want to just focus on the death piece. I keep going back to that because it's not just death. It's the death even of an idea.
No, it's not just death of a person.
It's not. But you were talking about like the kind of ritualistic kind of thinking around grieving.
Like coping about it, like dealing with it. Yeah. Are you a loud dealer or are you a quiet dealer? Like, do you deal quietly?
I think it depends. I'm more heady, so I do keep things more inside. And only around certain people will I allow myself to be like, oh, this is me, psh, tears, you know, and feel mm-hmm. the negative stuff. But that's when I find my safe space.
Oh, this is so interesting because grief, like you and I talked about grief and crying. Mm-hmm. Grief as a form of sadness is the kind of feeling experience that pours out of your body in the form of wet things that come out of your eyeballs. There's no cap to it. So you're flooding. And that experience makes people so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because we're all horrible at dealing with feelings. So I think that's why if around this space, it's not just like how you're processing with what you're dealing with. It's like the way that it impacts people around you. People are mourning with you, or people are being driven mad by your existence in grief.
Yeah.
And it's so more complicated than other feelings. Like, this is what makes grief more complicated.
It's like a shared, it's a shared experience. It really is.
And if it's shared positively because other people are with you and they're crying and they're sad, then there's positivity in there. But if you're crying and you are in this horribly sad space and the person who should be like taking on that sadness can't handle it, it just sucks.
It does suck.
Yeah.
It kind of, I've been in that space. It makes you feel like you're doing something wrong.
Ashamed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For people that are kind of going through this and thinking through all of the things that we've talked about today, I want people to remember that it's about finding what works in terms of your healthy and unhealthy.
Yeah.
You know when it's unhealthy. You know it.
I don't know that I would even say grief is unhealthy or healthy. I don't like that sense of somehow we're supposed to put an I know that society does. We've already talked about it.
Yeah.
But I think that that frame is wrong. I want to say I reject you, society. If we truly are like people can grieve the way they want, then you should get to grieve as long and as loudly as you want. That's what I want for people, because I think that grief ends. I do think that grief ends when you get to acceptance. But that journey for everybody is a different process. And if it takes some people 20 years, fine. If it's closed and it comes up again in 30 years, fine. It shouldn't be about healthy or unhealthy. It's like, am I able to just contain and accept that this is part of that reality? And for you, like, it is what it is. There's no healthy or unhealthy grief. Or am I wrong? Is there such a grief where you're filled with so much despair that you have lost everything and everyone else in your life? And okay, that's what we see in movies is unhealthy grief. Like, your grief has caused you so much despair that you were no longer able to function and you retreated from the world.
Yes.
Is that unhealthy grief?
It's unhealthy if it's damaging to your person. I get what you're saying, and this idea of not wanting to put like two opposites right on either end, but it's more about a journey. And I like that phrasing that you're using around it being a journey. You have to move through this however long it takes. But my only objection to this idea is there are points where it can get unhealthy, where for you, you may be so like blinded by and engulfed by the feelings of loss that you have, that you're not able to get to this point of acceptance. So you live in this space that you find is comfortable, where I'm dealing with whatever X grief I'm dealing with in the way that I know best. But then years pass, months pass, and nothing in my life is changing, and I'm just retreating into myself. See, I think that's unhealthy.
I know. Okay, so maybe the consequences of that grief are really unfortunate, and that's sad. I think of a story like that, and I feel like what I see is that you haven't been able to work through it, whether because of time or opportunity with another person, to have the space to work through the sadness, the anger, the bargaining, the big feelings that are associated with grief so that you can get to let go. So basically you're in that process where you're constantly stuck in bargaining, denial, anger, depression, and you haven't, like, where is your iotas of acceptance?
It is a big topic, and it's not one that has like a resolution of any kind, you know?
No.
It's not a right or wrong. It's just an is. It is what it is.
Well, the one thing that we have talked about that is a consistent theme is mm-hmm. processing.
Yeah.
So I think the phrase that I feel comfortable with when dealing with grief is, if you are not happy with where you are in your process of dealing with grief, then use the opportunity to reflect where you are in that stage and where you want to be, and do the work, do the processing, and see if there's a different place to be.
I'm cool with that.
To the extent that we can do that with other people, I think that's really good.
It's safe to try to do that.
To find people, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
But if people are not gelling, like if they're a silent griever and you want a loud grieve and they don't want to listen to that, then go find somebody else. Because there's somebody out there who will listen and let you loud grieve.
Yeah.
But I think if you want to loud grieve and you know that you need to loud grieve and you're not giving yourself the opportunity to do that, that could be a recipe for hard times, because you're suppressing and you're shoving it down. You're basically not attending to yourself, right?
You've made me think too much during this podcast, Teresa.
I think
too many existential questions.
I think we have some gold nuggets.
Yeah.
This is no beginning or end.
Yeah.
There's no beginning or end in life and death or loss of ideas and identities.
Yeah.
Because it's not just people.
Yes, correct.
All right, friends.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Hard topics. Keep on fighting in the open. Bye, folks.